This is a Defocus Media production.
One, two. Hi everyone, welcome to Primary Eye Guys. We're back here today in Dublin. It's been 3 or 4 months since we've been here.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We were just talking. This is one of the first ones that we've recorded live.
And side by side, the two of us. Because last time I was in the airport, you were in Toronto.
Yeah, we were Skyping while we were studying for stuff.
So, yeah, we're back in Dublin, and the reason we came back so early is because we had a hospital placement.
Right, we had it at the Royal Victoria Eye and Ear. It's in Dublin. It's a pretty large hospital, but it just focuses on ocular and ear, nose, and throat specialties.
Yeah, so I'd actually never been to this place before.
It was really close by to where we live, which is pretty
awesome. And somehow we never walked by there or anything. So
really nice old...
old building.
Building,
it was beautiful. So basically it's like one of our fourth year electives, I guess we'll call it, for lack of a better term. And we spend a week in the eye hospital shadowing different ophthalmology specialties.
Yeah, so we had, it was cool because each of us were assigned a different specialist. And it's a little bit different to how things run in North America. It's usually, so each clinic's run by a healthcare team. So you'll have like the senior consultant, you'll have someone below him who's the registrar, and then you'll have a, is it registrar and then SHOs?
I think so.
Yeah.
And for me, this was really confusing. Like, I didn't know what any of those terms meant.
Right.
So kind of when I first thought we were going in, I thought we'd be working with one ophthalmologist and they'd be running the one retina clinic or whatever. Right. But really it was like,
To a room.
Yeah, there was like three people, and they were all like, depending on what clinic it was, like specialties in that particular area.
Right.
And worked as, like you said, part of sort of an integrative team, which I didn't really know was happening.
I guess the easiest way to understand it would be that you have your attending or your consultant, then underneath that you have your fellow, and then underneath that you have your resident.
Yeah, and that's, I guess similar to back home. But yeah, I wasn't expecting to have so many people working like at the same time.
But we had we saw a lot of specialties. So we saw glaucoma, orthoptics and pediatrics, retinal we had spread out over a couple of days. There's a lot going on there. Then they broke it down into uveitis, cornea, and glaucoma. And finally, we had emergency on the last day.
Yeah, and sometimes there was a bit of like overlap between the clinics just because, you know, it's a busy place. There's always on-call cases or whatever. So you kind of see a bit of everything, but... Did you have a favorite clinic?
Yeah, I think my favorite was either glaucoma or retina.
Yeah, very cool. I love seeing the retina cases. My retina day was kind of like, I think that guy was also on call, so we kind of just saw everything. They were really interesting to see. I also really enjoyed the pediatric BD clinic or whatever you want to call it. It was really interesting to see, like, because especially those were almost always optom referrals in.
Yeah.
So I could definitely relate to that. And just like... To see their routine was so different than what we'd been taught and what I expected. So, yeah, that was kind of cool.
Like, I guess they do have to be quick because they're doing, like, some crazy patient volumes. Like, it's impressive how much they know and what they're capable of doing.
Yeah, super intelligent. Everyone who's not an ophthalmologist, basically. So, yeah.
And the interesting thing is, like, when I went in, I was expecting to just stand in a corner kind of thing and observe by or learn by watching. But depending on the consult that you or a consultant that you have and the team you're with, they actually do let you do a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It was, and I think you touched on this at the start of the week. You kind of said something to me along the lines of, you make what you want of it, because we're just there as an observership. So really just to observe, but most of the ophthalmologists are pretty friendly and you can just ask them questions if you want to, and they'll, you know, if they have time, they'll explain cases to you. And I sort of took that to heart the rest of the week, and I probably learned a lot more than if I just sat there and watched.
For sure. I think that's a big thing for a lot of people that do organize, like, hospital electives. Like, even if right now you're in pre-optometry or whatever, the important thing is to, like, introduce yourself to the consultant for things off. Like, they're very busy people, and they might not have a lot of time for you, but they might assign you with another doctor who does. And, you know, at that point, you don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, the worst thing they can do is say no.
Yeah,
you know?
And from my experience, they were mostly, like, really happy to answer and sometimes go above and beyond and explain things. And I guess the thing I learned the most was patient management. They had, like, just specific, like, guidelines and rules for when they would prescribe, when they do certain procedures and stuff like that. And I think that's the thing I learned.
Oh, for
sure. That's the topic I learned the most of this week, so.
I think that was something huge. Like you're saying, the biggest thing was the management stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think me and one of the glaucoma specialists were talking mm-hmm. about this, but, like, there's a lot of referrals that we send in
mm-hmm.
that maybe not we're not conscious at the time, but that just don't need to be sent in.
Yeah, absolutely. One that springs to mind is, in passing, we heard them talking about occlusive disorders in the retina, so vein occlusions, arterial occlusions, stuff like that. And I guess we learned this in diseases of the eye. Like, we've right. done this in college, so we should know the answers, really. But just to see it in practice and to see them take what we've learned, like how a venous occlusion isn't necessarily a same-day emergency.
Right.
I think if I was still, like, a new optom, I'd be like, oh, shit, that's a vein occlusion. I'd send yeah. it in.
I think also, like, that's the other thing that you need to balance too, right? Like, when you're starting off, you don't have a lot of experience. It's just mm-hmm. better to cover yourself. And, you know, if you yeah. don't know, then refer appropriately.
Yeah.
Because another doctor was saying that too, remember an mm-hmm. emergency?
Yeah.
Because there were two doctors in on this, and one was talking about, oh, man, you know, why did that one patient come in? And he's like, you know, I can kind of understand, like,
mm-hmm.
at yeah. the end of the day, like, you have to refer on if you're not 100%.
Yeah, because you're still liable exactly. as, like, a primary eye care provider or primary medical provider, whatever you are. You're right. still in charge of that person until, you know, they've been sent elsewhere. So, yeah, that was probably one of the coolest things. Other than that, like, I was surprised how many of the same things that were seen over and over again during yeah. the week, like, because I guess, like, stuff like viruses like Simplex, it just kept popping up. It was, like, such a common thing. Because yeah. I guess we do a huge amount on it in college, so it makes sense. But I didn't realize how just prevalent that was. And same with, obviously, the big ones like AMD, glaucoma, and stuff right. like that. And I guess they see, like, the worst of the cases. So they're very visible. Whereas sometimes when we see them in primary care, we see them when they're first referred on, when things maybe aren't so advanced.
I think that was another thing that I really enjoyed about being in a hospital environment too, that almost every single patient you see is someone who is, there's an interesting case there, you know, like mm-hmm. it's always, there's something to be learned from. Like, a lot of the doctors I was with would let me actually take a look at the retina and mm-hmm. then the OCT mapping. They helped me, or I helped them with some of the mm-hmm. fundus and angiography stuff as well. And, you know, you just get to see a lot of stuff that you wouldn't normally see in clinic.
Yeah. And you and I were together actually one day, and we got to see a YAG cap done, which was really interesting to see how the YAG laser worked. I mean, right. it wasn't, you don't see anything magnificent when you're just, like, standing a few feet back and watching. It just looks like a slit lamp, basically. Right. But
you get to appreciate a lot of the three-dimensional stuff
mm-hmm.
when you look through, like, the slit lamps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we've all seen PCO and retinal mm-hmm. detachments in pictures, but mm-hmm. when you actually see them there,
yeah, you kind of see, like, a bit of depth.
Yeah, and, like, exactly.
Yeah, and you have to, like, and it's a bit harder. You really have to focus your right. your condensing lens on what you're viewing. And I guess it was a really good opportunity to solidify what we know, because
right.
I can't say there's too much in this week where I went, oh my god, that's totally new and groundbreaking, I had no idea. It was more just like, oh, I've learned that before, and it was a great yeah. refresher, and to see it in real life, you know.
Especially there was one point where it was the management of herpes,
mm-hmm.
zoster and simplex, mm-hmm. and he actually walked us through, like, the prescribing guidelines. Mm-hmm. I found that really, really useful.
Yeah, yeah, he was so on it. I guess he just sees it so often that it yeah. was second nature to him. It was great for us too, because, like, I think we'll have a better idea of what to advise our patients, what to experience when, you know, we refer them on. Because I'm sure, like, when you refer someone, like, oh, I'm going to refer you for, say, PCO or right. something, we'll be able to tell them, oh, it just takes a couple minutes, like, I wouldn't worry about it.
So you might have blurred vision for that day kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And just give them a good idea of, like, what they're going to expect, because prior to this, you know, but you don't really know.
That's the thing. It was really good for continuity of care. So just building on what you were saying, mm-hmm. like, you know, you refer on, but now we have this,
mm-hmm.
like, we've been able to carry through with the patients yeah. and essentially see what they go through.
Yeah.
So it kind of does help yeah. Cement our understanding yeah. of explaining what goes on.
Yeah. So all in all, like, a really beneficial week. I'm really glad I went through yeah. with it, because, you know, we had to come back a bit early to make it back in Dublin in time to go to the hospital. So Totally worth it.
Is there anything that you would have liked to do, like that you would have wished that they had built on or that you didn't yeah. like?
I mean, if I'm being nitpicky, and it's difficult because you're just there on an observership and ophthalmologists are obviously really busy people, but it would have been amazing to just have every single patient that came in be able to have a look. Yeah. Obviously, sometimes we were, sometimes it was just too busy, but that would have been an awesome experience just to be able to see every single patient that came in. But, right. you know, there's obviously time constraints and
for sure.
it's not like they're paid extra to take us on. Yeah. You know, they're doing it out of their own goodwill, giving us information. And
no, like I said, you make what you, you get what you make out mm-hmm. of it. Like out of the 14 clinics that I was at, there was mm-hmm. only maybe one or two where I was just standing in the corner.
Yeah. And that's just because like, there's no real other yeah, choice, exactly. you know, if you're so like busy,
they were very busy. Yeah.
You have to work before you're teaching, you know, right. so was it, what about you? Was there anything in particular you thought you would have liked to have seen or done and missed out on?
Honestly, I feel like actually seeing a lot of the patients that come in, mm-hmm. that the understanding of optometric care between ophthalmologists and patients mm-hmm. isn't really as far as we would like, you know,
a
like
bit skewed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there were cases where you were telling me that a patient didn't know that you could get spectacle corrections at an optometrist.
Yeah, they didn't know that you could, like, we could refract, essentially. Because yeah. they, I guess, it was someone who had always been refracted by an ophthalmologist.
Right.
So they weren't aware that, like, you know, optometry basically existed and that was something you could do.
Right. And then the other thing was that there's a lot of stuff that ophthalmologists spent a lot of time working on that mm-hmm. they don't necessarily have to do, like, you know, there was like exophorias and, you know, there were bacterial conjunctivitis, stuff that could be easily managed by an optometrist and would save them a lot of time.
Oh, I definitely agree with that.
And you were even saying that there were ophthalmologists that when you had brought up that idea of shared care, they were like, yeah, you know, that would be a really good idea to implement. Like, it would free up a lot of
absolutely. Time for us. Yeah, I don't think like that's a big like contentious issue, but and just to add on that too, like sometimes it's not even like expanded scope for optometry, it's even practicing the scope we had, like you mentioned foreas,
right?
Like there's so many optometrists out there I'm sure who refer on foreas from kids or amblyopia that they could easily be doing occlusion therapy right. on their own. And you know, even before we talk about expanding practice, just working within the ones we have and making right. sure everyone's actually doing their full capabilities.
Exactly.
So it was a bit frustrating to see some of the referrals in, honestly. I was like, oh my God, like I would not be referring that in. But
and I think the ophthalmologists were frustrated by that too, because mm-hmm. I mean, if you can appreciate that they're seeing close to 24 patients in a given mm-hmm. clinic, and their clinics run from like 9 a.m. to 12:30.
Yeah.
And some of the cases that come in that don't really need to be seen that take away from somebody else
yeah.
who has a more
serious condition. Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of sad that people yeah. fall through the cracks kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the other thing I noticed, because they're not in primary care, you know, they're a step above that.
Right.
They're kind of just there to deal with your presenting complaint or your complaint that's been referred on to you. So it's a bit frustrating to me because, like, in primary care, we're always taught to, like, educate about everything you see. And I found sometimes they would just deal with, like, the one problem they're presenting with.
Right.
And then that's sort of it. Like, they wouldn't give any further advice where, just for an example, like, this didn't happen. There was a myopic patient who was young. I'd be going dang and on through the optometric chain of myopia control, you know, atropine, right. multifocal lenses, yada, yada, yada. But they're really just there to deal with whatever that problem is they're referred in for.
Right.
Whether it's, like, I don't know, an external problem, blepharitis, yada, 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 something like that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, because they have a lot of, like, orthoptists on site mm-hmm. and stuff, too. Like, I feel like they would benefit
mm-hmm.
from having a few optometrists on site, you know? Like,
yeah, it's not something I really thought about when I was there, but yeah, it's totally true.
Yeah, but anyway, other than that, it was a really great experience, you know?
Yeah, it was a cool weekend. I think anyone within primary care would definitely benefit from taking that next step to whoever they're referring to in any specialty within right. allied health, just to, you know, even better inform your patients. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
One thing I'm curious is, now I want to shadow a U.S. ophthalmology
yeah,
team,
see what's
just
different.
To see, like, what that difference is, too.
Yeah, see, I worked in, like, a vitreoretinal clinic, but it was a private clinic, so right. it wasn't in the hospital, so I don't really know if they have that same sort of team, I'm putting up quotations here, if that's the right word, that we saw in this hospital, because he was just sort of working on his own. And like before, I would take the VA, take the OCT, and he'd get to see that after. I honestly have no idea.
After this, would you be interested in hospital optometry?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. Well, like, I don't know. I like the primary setting, I'll be honest. Like, I love, like, solving the problem and, like, just dealing with everything that's in front of me. And I feel like everything's so, like, rushed in the hospital. Like, there's a time and a place for that. You need it. But I don't think it's for me.
Fair enough.
What about you? Is that something that interests you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I should say it interests me because I'd be interested as a student to, like, learn more. And I think you do learn a lot more in that environment. Like, we previously had Zach Cairns, the IG Optom, on an episode. And he was doing a residency position at Moorfields in London.
Right.
And he was sort of going over his day, and it was in hospital optometry. And he got to run different clinics. And that's kind of what this reminded me of.
Right.
And he had just seen so much pathology and so many sort of rarer stuff that I don't really get the opportunity to see.
For sure. And, you know, it was really reflected by some of the pictures he would put up to, or the images.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a great photographer as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, Tom. But, like, you know, that's what it's like. You just do get to see, like, with every single case, mm-hmm. something different. Like, yeah. I like that. I like that variability and that daily challenge kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Really cool to see. I'd love to go back someday, but we'll see where life takes us, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else to add?
No, I think that's about it for this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks, I think, again now.
Yeah,
two weeks. 2 weeks.
We've got cycle. Some pretty cool guests coming up, so.
Yeah, stay tuned. Check out primaryeyeguys.com. Check out Defocus Media. They have been putting up all our episodes recently. Yeah. A great organization by Jen Lyerly and Daryl Glover.
Sometimes I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I don't know. I remember when we started, we're like, oh man, like, Defocus Media, you think we'll ever get to that point?
Yeah, because, you know, when you Google optometry podcasts, they're one of the first ones that come up, Defocus Media. So we're really glad to be in cahoots with them, and be sure to check them out. They've got some great episodes. I've listened to some really cool one on, a great one on pediatrics recently, on pediatric prescribing and dispensing. I learned a lot because pediatrics is coming up for us.
For sure.
As far as a module.
Yeah, just thanks again for tuning in and joining us on this journey, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much.